Hello, everyone. Welcome to the August 30th version of the Zuch and Wild podcast, recording on Tuesday. So, unfortunately, won't be able to cover the Colorado game. But Zuch, it is back. We are so back. We had Oasis is reunited again, and we are reunited with college football. Couldn't be more of a better week. I get two of my favorite things, alt rock and college football, this week.
So are they doing an American tour?
No, but I hope not, because me and you are both, we like to look at the gambling, you know, we dabble a bit, but if there was a line set on shows, I think they announced 14 shows, the Gallagher brothers, I would say that's like, what do you say the line would be? 3.5 before they start arguing again and cancel everything and don't talk to each other for like 10 years again. So yeah, Oasis is back. College football is back. We have week one coming up. But before we talk about week one, and we're going to finally talk about our college football playoff predictions. We've held it off for you guys. We're going to finally get to go a deep dive into who we think is going to make the college football playoff this year. But before we can talk about that, we need to talk about what essentially was the funniest outcome of week zero. And it was the DJU. And his performance in Florida State losing to Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland. There was just so much funny about this week. First, you had Pat McAfee just getting absolutely cheesed at a pub on a show before the week. You had announcers drinking Guinnesses calling the games. I think you had Georgia Tech who had, less than 15 drives the whole game. And then you just had Florida State who claimed they had the best D-line in the country and was just looking like Swiss cheese out there.
Yeah, it's not so I actually knew a couple people who went to the game.
Really?
And it was funny to see like just their roller coaster of emotions. Oh, we just had a tailgate at a castle. This is the coolest thing I've ever experienced. To, oh, DJU is 9 of 10 for 4 yards. This isn't
that line's so crazy. Like the 12 for 14 with a negative pass yards in the air. That's almost impossible to do.
We could do. I texted it in the group chat. Legitimately, we could do that. Like that is,
if you ran nothing but jet, like touch passes, and completed like 1 5 to 7 yard pass, you would be above that, which was crazy. I mean, credit to Georgia Tech. I mean, I don't know about you, Zuch, but when I watched this game, Georgia Tech's offensive line, and we gave Hayes King, actually we both gave Georgia Tech a lot of not shit but a lot of said we both pretty much said in our ACC preview, like, this has potential. Hayes King is super raw, but this team might be a few years away. They kind of looked like how I thought they were going to look next year, where they're running the football. That offensive line looks good. Hayes King looks like an effective runner. There's still some stuff I'm worried about, but I'll tell you what, man, they look like they are playing as a unit, and they were not intimidated by the moment. It was like one team was intimidated by the moment, and one team was not intimidated by the moment, playing with nothing to lose, and that was Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, they really, when you think about like the game plan, and I hate how now, like every time you get on Twitter during football, you see all these people talking about like the script. I'm sorry, a script can get torn up like on the first. You know what you don't script for is, or you do script, I guess, to go down the field in like 10 plays and score. And then after that, you're probably not thinking, oh, we're only going to get 6 drives the rest of the game, because Florida State had 7, Georgia Tech had 7. So with that, I think Florida State does deserve a little bit of the hate they're getting. I don't think they should panic just yet.
Oh, because, not at all.
Like, if you really look into it, yeah, that's an issue that either they don't trust the receivers or they don't trust DJU to make plays. One 100%. Of those two is not trusted.
And the thing about DJU is that, and oh my gosh, was it Jesse Palmer, I thought, made a great point in the game. He was like, you see some throws and you go, this guy is an NFL round one prospect. And then the exact sit, literally, like, it's the play that he showed versus Oregon, and then the play versus Oregon later in the game. And it's the same exact rollout pass, same exact blitzer that comes off the edge. and he makes the throw the first time and misses the exact same throw the second time, like exact same play almost. And that's the thing. He just kept bringing up the inconsistency, and that's what Florida State has to fix. And that defense, do you think, and this is what I'll say about the Florida State defense, there, and you know this, there was a lot of hype coming out of camp about this D-line. I think that was almost like, in my opinion, it was the coaches and the media trying to get these D-linemen to believe in themselves more. Because even I found it hard to believe that you can be as good as you were last year, and you literally lost a round one and a round two pick. Like, literally, the top 25 draft pick was on your D-line last year in Verse. And you replaced him with solid guys, but maybe guys who are a little while away from being that kind of caliber of talent.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, they lost their starting quarterback, and they lost a lot of pieces. So that's why I was, like, kind of saying, like, don't panic just yet. You know, I think that it's almost impossible not to have high hopes when, like, Florida State is a great, like, maybe they're not on Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State level right now, but they are a pretty good, they're a top tier level program. So if you go 12-1, we all know how
they're a big brand. College football's better, but Florida State's better.
Yeah, they get good recruits. They have, for the most part, been good for the last 50 or so years, however long Bobby Bowden was there. Jimbo Fisher won a title. Mike Norvell has done relatively well, although I did see a stat that he's like something like 19.
Oh, he just beats up on non-ranked teams. Yeah, he beats up on non-ranked teams.
He's really good with Jordan Travis, and without Jordan Travis, he's not as good, which...
Uh-oh. Well, only time will tell. I do love, though, Kirk Herbstreit just essentially just hit a kill shot on Twitter. Did you see that? Kirk Herbstreit taking total... It was... Now, Florida State fans also needed to relax. So some of the Bloodline memes were getting out of hand. The Bloodline memes on Twitter... needed to stop, okay? DJU, let's just give him a full season before we start saying he needs to tag up with Jacob Fatu, okay? Please, everyone.
The best one by far, and I don't know if I sent it to you because I saw it and started laughing and accidentally scrolled on my fan and it went away, was DJU won't be good until this man is in his corner. And it was Paul Heyman.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, FSU's got the they have enough NIL where I feel like they could get Paul Heyman like leading the chop down there at Doak Campbell. But yeah, the Florida State, nothing to panic about, but great job to Georgia Tech. They proved me and everyone but Sheamus wrong. Speaking of, it was just a WWE weekend. Only Sheamus got it correct. Just a wild guest picker to have on game day. But that was only just a little bit of the week zero. Just, I say tomfoolery, just bullshit. It was just some funny stuff. We had a wind delay in the Montana State game, and we had a New Mexico team with. We needed to do who's coaching where. Totally forgot Bronco Mendenhall was the coach at New Mexico.
Helped drop legitimately one of the nastiest plays I've ever seen, which is that
the quarterback sneak.
Like, turned around and held the ball like this. And I was like, thank you. I was like, damn, like, what if that dude just got hit? Like, someone just destroyed him. But then I read more about it, and he was looking up at the scoreboard, which is actually really smart to, like, figure out where the other guys were going. That play was perfection. New Mexico does not do a lot of well.
New Mexico, I mean, last thing I'll say about this game is, like, I thought New Mexico was going to, like, I thought they were different, and then New Mexico, they stalled. Same old New Mexico came out, and Montana State willed their way back into their game. I will say, quarterback for Montana State looked like he couldn't hit water if it came out of a boat. He was a running back, essentially, that Montana State QB, but they look fine. And then you get to the SMU game, and it's like people are getting ejected for spitting. It's like snowing in Reno. It was like 50 degrees at kickoff in August. Like, SMU, I will say, honestly, yeah. And the run, like, I thought Preston Stone was like a top, he's a 91 overall in the new NCAA game. He's supposed to be one of the top QBs in the country, and they're running like a double QB system. I don't know. I think a lot of the SMU hype train has died. And I think it's because I'm going to hold off on some opinions I have on SMU, because if they prove me right, I have some things to say about SMU. But super funny explaining Rich Choate to my friends at the bar, the people who didn't know about Rich Choate. So that was also really awesome. Anything else that you took away, like, from Nevada, except for just, like, Rich Choate, like, this is him. And then they just, like, had the worst safety of all time running shotgun from the one.
Yeah, it was just... It was, all of it was such a week zero thing. Like, the one of the funnier parts was when the dude there went for the fair catch. So he'd go to the 25 and dropped it. So it's like that, like, basically lost the game for Nevada. He, like, went the fair catch, dropped it at the one. They get safetied, and it was just, I don't think they scored again.
No.
After that.
No, they did not. No, they did not. No, but it was a funny weekend.
They were bad the past couple of years.
That's what I was saying. We actually had some good games. It was, like, really, really cool to have some good games. I unfortunately wasn't able to watch the Hawaii Delaware State game, but it wasn't even on national TV, which kind of pissed me off. But moving on to something we have been holding off and wanting to get into for a while, it is our playoff prediction. Zuch, the 12 team playoff is here. As you know, this is completely new this year. I personally, as I was digging deeper into the setup, do like how the conference champions are 1-4 no matter what. I still think it keeps a little bit of resemblance of winning your conference matters. Remember, Zuch, that was something that you brought up last year when this thing was first announced, or 2 years ago. And you said, what is the point of playing in the conference championship game if you just lose and then you can fall back further? So I think the 1-4 being a conference champion no matter what kind of eliminates that hypothetical problem.
Yeah, it's God. I'm excited for it. I'm mostly excited to see, like, those, I don't know, like 9, 10, and 11 teams, and we'll include 12, because they're just going to be, like, pissed off, like, 9-3 fan bases that,
yeah,
well, it'll be, I love, like, it. In like politics, when people are arguing one side or the other and they refuse to acknowledge any of the stuff that is wrong with their argument, that's what it's gonna be like. It's gonna be like, well, we went 9-3 and beat Alabama.
It's like, what, lost to Kentucky? Exactly. Yeah. No one else can't do any wrong and everyone else is wrong. But the way we're gonna do this is me and Zuch are just gonna go bar for bar and give our just 1-12. Down the hatch. Zuch, I'm going to give you the honors and let us kick it off with you. Who do you think is going to be your number one team at the end of this year or the end of the regular season?
Number one, not going to give records or anything like that. Number one overall, the Oregon Ducks.
Oregon Ducks. And what is the reasoning behind that? Because I have a different number one.
Okay. I have them playing Ohio State. Or no, actually, I don't have them. I don't have them playing Ohio State in the Pac-12, Big 10 championship.
Hey, shout out! That was the ghost of Bill Walton taking over for a second.
But I do have them beating Ohio State. That was the main reason. I like had it between those two of who was going to be in the conference title game and probably winning it. Have them beating Ohio State, not necessarily going undefeated. But I think that they will win the Big Ten and have less losses than the SEC champion. I think SEC conference is tougher. So I think they will have that big win, probably have one loss from looking at their schedule, be number one overall.
Awesome. I have around the same thought process, but different outcome. I have the Ohio State Buckeyes as my number one team. I think they beat Oregon in the Big 12 10 championship game. I think Will Howard is okay enough. I just think there's too much talent on that defense, skill positions for them. I think they're the number one team, winners of the Big 10. For my second seed, so the number two team I think that's going to happen after conference championship weekend is going to be the Georgia Bulldogs. I think that they get back on track. I think while Carson Beck, you know, his Snapchat stories sketch me out. I don't think, look, trust me, we're going to do Heisman picks later, and that was taken into consideration. Trust me. But, you know, I think Georgia comes out. I think Kirby Smart has these guys pissed off and ready to play. I think Kirby Smart is pissed off. He's had to put up with a lot of, I would say, deserved BS in the offseason with a lot of the drama. And they also didn't even make the playoff last year. So I got the Georgia Bulldogs as my number two team.
Same exact team, number two. I think Georgia will not necessarily go undefeated. I think they might even have a couple losses, to be honest. They have a very, very, like, an extremely hard schedule. There's not many weeks for that team. And I don't think at any point in the year they're going to get killed by someone unless it's like a just catastrophe and everything goes wrong. But that really has not happened for them. And like, that was kind of old Georgia where it'd be like, oh, they're like looking like really the last time I remember that happening was that when they played. Won the national title, but they lost to Alabama in the SEC title, like 41-20 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and that was going to be, I think, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. So, might have a couple losses. I think they'll be close. It was very hard for me with 1 and 2 picking.
It was hard for me, too. I just lean more Ohio State because I think that Georgia, as they have a tougher schedule, is they're going to be playing more closer games. I just think the way that things are going to shake out, I think Ohio State is going to be preseason number one and kind of just not lose that spot. My number three team is going to surprise some people. It is my ACC champion. It's who I picked to win the ACC on our ACC preview. And it is going to be the Clemson Tigers. I don't know what to think in the ACC. Because I don't believe in Miami, and I don't believe really in Florida State. So I have the Clemson Tigers. I think Dabo is able to give middle fingers. They're the only team besides a service academy that didn't pick up a transfer. That's not a grad transfer. So no undergraduate transfers for Clemson. I think their defense is still going to be really good. And like I predicted, I think they have a couple freshman wide receivers. I forget his name, but there's a freshman wide receiver that I think is going to be at the end of everyone's like 2027 must draft list in 3 years. So I got Clemson at number three.
Clemson at number three. Okay. Like that pick. Clemson has never really fallen out of favor with me. I know that they've, quote unquote, looked rough the past couple of years because they aren't.
Although, did you see Dabo Swinney sad, no longer taking live phone calls on his radio show? Tyler from Spartanburg has broken that man. Tyler from Spartanburg broke that man.
He will be sprinting out of the tunnel, though. I guarantee you that.
Oh my gosh! Could you have? You said it best. If they play a home playoff game, and it would bust my bracket because if they get three, they won't be. But if they're somehow like playing a home playoff game, that man will sprint out of that tunnel at a velocity we have never seen before. At a velocity we have never seen before.
So I was, and then I'll get to my pick, but at work, I just have been, because there's nothing on TV. So like the YouTube is on the TV and it's just like rotating through games. And that game came up from like a decade or so ago where they played West Virginia in the Orange Bowl and lost.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
70 to 30.
Yep, the Geno Smith team. Yeah,
reactions that whole time were just priceless. Like you would have never thought, oh, this team is about to kind of be a dynasty in 4 or 5 years behind Dabo Swinney. Yes, they're down 63-30 to West Virginia in the third.
Dana
quarter.
Holgrimson.
Yeah. But you said you don't believe them for number three. You don't believe in them, I should say. I'm going. The U. At number
three. The U, making Trick Daddy proud.
Making Trick Daddy proud. They need to, like I said about Miami before, the more trouble they get into, the better they are. They need to, like, maybe revitalize a seventh floor crew. Stuff like that. Wear some camo fatigues off the plane. That sort of thing. But I like Mario Cristobal. It's like the weirdest thing ever. And I was thinking about this with him. I wonder Because I did have Oregon at number one, but if Oregon were to... It's weird that Oregon is, like, so highly, like, proclaimed, and their last two coaches have left to go to the ACC, like, to Florida State. Yeah. In Miami. Like, it's... They're, yeah. Like... And, I mean, I don't include Chip Kelly really in that because he went to the NFL. To me, that's a... The NFL is bigger than college football. I don't like the NFL more, but I'm not stupid. I realize the NFL is king. So that I get more, but I... Dan Lanning, I mean, no, I think he'll stay there, but I don't...
I will say, Oregon has been anointed, and it's for someone who, like, you have Oregon up there. That scares me, and they've just kind of been, I think, and I know a broken record, a lot of you have talked about this, they've just kind of been anointed, in my opinion. But yeah. They have a loaded team this year, and they're going to show up later in my rankings. But before that, I got the number four team, and your number four team is also going to be the Big 12 champ. I believe the Big 12 champ is going to be Avery Johnson and the Kansas State Wildcats at number four. I think that they have like a gritty, bullshit-ass season, 9-3, something stupid like that, get into a four seed, just be a tough out. I think Avery Johnson looks really good. I heard some. I was listening to Andy Staples. And he believes that he hasn't seen a quarterback this fast since Kyler Murray, which is a bold thing to say. Really bold thing to say. Now, is his throwing as good as Kyler Murray, who was a pro baseball prospect as well? We'll see. But I think Kansas State is just going to be that gritty team, sneaks into the Big 12 championship and wins.
I like that pick. This was the hardest conference for me to pick by far, which kind of like you. Really think that every team in that conference might have like three, not every team, but the top teams will have like at least two, maybe three losses.
There's like five teams. Like we I remember we counted our Big 12 preview. There's legit 6 to 7 teams that have legitimate claims at the Big 12 throne.
Yeah. Like it's, it is going to eat itself alive and it's going to be like fantastic to watch. It's, like people have said, it's going to be the most fun conference. I have to agree because, you know, that Saturday 1:30 ABC slot is going to be immaculate with, you know, one team might be 4-3 playing a 7-1 team. And it's going to be great. However, I'm going same state. This is a risky pick, but I'm going the Kansas Jayhawks to be the 4 seed.
Lance Leopold. Big time.
And it's Jayhawk. It just comes back to, like we said, like I honestly think that I was like, it's almost like throwing a dart and not seeing where it lands.
No, 100%. 100%. All right. And now is when it officially gets hard. Conference winners 1-4, of course, get byes. We got 5-12 now. This is the Wild West. So let's just get into it. My number five team is, and I have a scenario for this, the Alabama Crimson Tide, who will not make the SEC championship, but will get in over who I think is going to be the SEC runner-up. I got the Alabama Crimson Tide. I don't find, and I know Alabama could be bad and people have shit on them because Saban's leaving. Kalen DeBoer has won everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
Tommy Rees got better throughout the season calling plays. Jalen Milroe got better throughout the season and was, remember, a true sophomore last year. I think this team gets better. I think Kalen DeBoer's won everywhere he's at. I just don't think he's good enough to beat Georgia yet. So I have Alabama number five.
Alabama number five. I'm also going SEC with my number five pick. And I'm also going the same team. I think Alabama fatigue is still real, but I just don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, it could just eat Kalen DeBoer alive. We've seen that happen to coaches before. They go to a program like that, and it is so much that they like kind of start second guessing.
We've seen it with Brady Hoke, great West Virginia coach, went to Michigan, eats you alive. Honestly, we saw it with Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame, eats you alive. Like,
yes,
so,
I mean,
like
some
you said,
coaches like get back into coaching the next year. Others start tweeting political memes all the time. And
hey, he needs, okay, maybe a certain ex-coach by whose name rhymes with Mayan Marson. I'm not naming any names, but his name rhymes with Mayan Marson. You need to turn on the quote tweets and comments. You need to state, I'm okay. People have their political differences. I am okay with you tweeting about your politics. Have to be a man and leave the quote tweets and comments on. Have to do it.
You went to
no matter what you believe.
Yeah, exactly. This man who remains nameless coached at a certain SEC school that might have two mascots for whatever stupid reason they'd choose to do that for. And you got to deal with it now. You skipped out on Bo Jackson's charity golf event. You were very bad. And now,
like we said, this is a nameless coach, totally hypothetical, this guy. Oh my God. Let's hope he doesn't find this video, or else he's going to tweet us in the morning about like some motivational thing about haters. Let's move on to the number six team. I have my Big Ten runner up. I have the Oregon Ducks. I think they are the second best team in the Big Ten. I think I said Big 12. Second best team in the Big Ten. I think Oregon slides perfectly into that number six spot after losing to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship.
Okay. My number six team, and it's going to be because they lose the SEC championship game. And it's going to... This one, like, this is where it gets so hard because I just don't know how they're going to rank these teams. Because my number seven team, I'll just get it out of the way. My number seven team is Ohio State. So I have them losing to Oregon. Losing to Oregon, sorry, but not in the Big Ten championship game for reasons I'll get into in a little bit. Number six team, I'm going Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
I think with how their schedule plays out, I think they could get through the regular season with one loss. Probably going to be two, but I think it could be one. I think that game, they play Georgia and Oxford. I think they can win that game, but replaying them, I don't know that they would win that second time around. I think that they could win it, but like, I think they split with Georgia. So,
okay. That makes sense.
Ole Miss, Georgia, SEC championship game. Winner's going to be the number two seed. Loser, six seed.
Perfect. Well, I mean, makes sense whether I agree or disagree. Like, the logic is there. They got a talented team this year. My number seven team is something I called out last week. I think the Notre Dame Fighting Irish will be the seventh best team in the country. Not because they are the actual seventh best team in the country. I just know how voters vote, and I know how this schedule looks for Notre Dame. And if they can beat the two good teams on this schedule, they're going to only lose one or two games. And I think a one-loss Notre Dame gets in at a seven, no lower than a 10. I have them at seven. I think they only drop one or two games. I think Marcus Freeman, now maybe it's because every time he talks, I want to run through a brick wall because that guy's a motivational genius. And I'm enamored with the way he's able to communicate. He's like the most, I mean this in the best way, Notre Dame fans. He's like the most non-Notre Dame, Notre Dame man of all time. In a good way, if that makes sense. He doesn't talk like one of these like fart-sniffing dorks. Sorry, again, Notre Dame fans, don't take anything personal. But he doesn't seem like a fart-sniffing dork. So I got Notre Dame at seven. Zuch.
Seven? Like I said, I have Ohio State at seven. I do not think they're going to be in the Big Ten championship game.
Huh.
I think they're going to have a couple losses. I know they have a lot of hype. They spent $6 billion in NIL money on this team. It's a big year. I still question a little bit how Ryan Day does with big game moments. I think we have enough of a track record now to be like, you're not the best when it comes to these. He is James Franklin with hair. I'll just get out of the way. That's
whoa. Those are fighting words. Dude, Buckeye Fett is going to come after you now. Also, if anyone on Twitter has run into Buckeye Fett, I'm sorry for you, because I have, I've also run into Buckeye Fett, and it's one of the worst accounts online. I'll just say that right now. But Zooch, as you were saying about Ryan Day, James Franklin with hair.
I just was like looking back today at different games, and like they blew the game against Clemson when Justin Fields.
Yes.
That game, they have gotten killed by Michigan the last 3 years. They got killed by Alabama in the COVID year. And that's going back to what this is his, he's been there, what, 5 or 6 years now? So it's a, it keeps happening. So they are on my list of, you now need to prove that you can get in some of these big games and beat somebody other than Penn State, because you haven't done that lately.
Yep. That makes sense with me. Number 8 team for me is the team I have playing in the SEC championship game, but is going to be ranked behind Alabama. And that is the Missouri Tigers. I'm again, dropping it on the table. I was a big hater of Eli Drinkwitz last year. But after looking at their schedule, after seeing who they've returned, they returned their QB. Eli even came back after throwing his name out there in some bigger SEC and Big Ten jobs. I think Mizzou gets into that 8 seed after, I don't want to say fully getting exposed in the SEC championship game. I think their SEC championship game performance sticks in the voters' mouths more than it should. So I have Mizzou at 8 behind Alabama.
Mizzou at 8. My number 18. And it was after looking, like I said, looking at their schedule, seeing how I think things might play out. And this is one of the teams that might come back to bite me in the ass. It might make me look really stupid. However, just hear me out on this. My number 18 is USC.
USC have them as a, they beat LSU, and you're about to see the hype train take off if they beat LSU.
I was, like I said, I looked at their schedule. Yes, they have USC and Notre Dame. USC, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan. That is their 4 hard games, right? Like, if you look at the rest of their schedule, like Wisconsin might be okay. Some of those other Big Ten teams might be okay. If USC, out of those 4 teams, beats 2 of them, right? And they're 10-2 going into the, and I have them either losing to Michigan and or Penn State, or losing to Notre Dame or LSU. I think they'll win one of the other two.
Okay.
If they're 10-2, play Oregon in the Big Ten championship game and lose, and 10-3, I don't see how they don't get in. That's kind of my.
That makes sense. I mean, Miller Moss has kind of been your Lisa Al-Ghaib. He is the chosen one of USC. He is the return of USC. He's righty Matt Leinart, who also, Matt Leinart, I don't know who does his social media, but he's popping up everywhere. So whatever he's doing for like engagement, it's working. Please give us some tips, Matt Leinart. But no, I don't hate that pick. I really don't. But you might hate this pick. And this is where I start to go off the rails and may start to lose people. I have the Tennessee Volunteers at 9.
I see
a scenario where 4 SEC teams get in. And I think Tennessee gets at 9 because of the schedule. Tennessee doesn't play Missouri. So they don't come in like the same world of playing, right? So they don't, in that world of trying to get wins, they don't take away from each other. So that's how I have Missouri playing Tennessee in the playoff. I know it's stupid, but I believe in Josh Heupel. I have loved Nico I, because I don't know how to pronounce his last name yet. I will by next week. Sorry, Tennessee fans. I'm just going to go Nico I. I've loved him since high school. He can make every play. He's like a better potential version. He runs that offense just like Hendon Hooker did, not like Moonball Milton did. I think it's going to be a lot more of like the Hendon Hooker offense with a younger, more explosive quarterback. And I think that when you combine with Pierce, their edge rusher, Tennessee is a big dark horse, has more talent than we're giving them credit for.
I don't hate that one. It's, like we mentioned earlier, we're getting into the waters where it's kind of looking at team schedules and kind of seeing what you think their record might be and if they get in. So you had Tennessee at 9, right? That's what we're on, 9?
Yep, Tennessee at 9.
My number 9 team, along the same lines, I think they've always had talent. They maybe just had a doofus for a head coach, Texas A&M.
Really? You think this is the year that A&M finally gets it?
I think kind of along the same lines you were thinking, like, what, you think Tennessee's going to be 9-3 or so? About,
yeah, 9-3, 10-2. They don't play Missouri, so that's a win that's not stolen from them. So it's like,
yeah, it's kind of how I'm looking. Like 12 teams is
A&M, and like USC, A&M beats Notre Dame and it's off to the race,
right? Like, it's, and even if like they lose to Notre Dame and lose a couple SEC games, they're 9-3, and quite possibly all three of their losses are playoff teams. So it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, this is the part of the playoff that I have really, I have a clue of who I think will be good. I have no clue of
these last couple teams.
Because they could be, Texas A&M could also be 6-6. Same with USC. Same with basically every team I've named, except like 3. So,
yeah, no, and that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun this year. So I love this 12 team. My number 10 team, who I think is going to be number 10. I don't know why I just repeated myself, but I think it's going to be the Big 12 runner-up. It's going to be the 10 seed Arizona Wildcats. I think this is a pick that, in my hypothetical, is going to piss a lot of people off, because I think it's going to be like a 3-loss Arizona that barely beats teams, maybe gets exposes, but makes it to the Big 12 championship, so they have that on them, and their offense looks really, really good, but they have some gaps. But I have Arizona at 10. Really love Brent Brennan. We've talked about it. Don't know how he stayed at San Jose State for so long. He could have got a job right after post-COVID. Brent Brennan, I think the rest of the country is going to find out about Brent Brennan this year and could become, and I don't want to say this about Arizona, I think he is a loyal guy, but I think after this year, there will be big programs knocking on Brent Brennan's door to have them transform their football teams.
Okay. So, this is where we're going to start to differ, I think, a little bit in where we have teams, because I personally don't think they're going to throw that second Big 12 team in there if they have 3 losses. This is where we're going to get a heavy dose of SEC.
Oh!
And I just think that is... I struggled 10 and 11 because there is one Big Ten team that I thought might get in, but I just, and it might come back to bite me in the ass because they're probably going to go 10-2 and they'll be in. Hands up, I don't have Penn State in.
No, me neither. I don't either. Sorry, Penn State. I'll see it when I believe it. I really will. I'll see it when I believe it.
It's, I just,
believe it when I see it. I was saying that backwards. I'll believe it when I see it. Not I'll see it when I believe it. The hell am I saying?
So my number 10 team going to be my 4th SEC team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's add Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, A&M. Number 10 team, Texas A&M.
You already said Texas A&M.
Not Tennessee. Tennessee, sorry.
Tennessee. Thanks. All right, Tennessee. That's bold. I mean, look, if there's 5 SEC teams in the playoff, people are going to throw a fit. But
people are lucky. I almost put Auburn in here, and I still think Auburn is going to have a...
That's crazy. No, I like Auburn, too. I just don't think they got a quarterback this year. Like, that's the thing. I think they're a couple years away with their quarterback. But I don't hate that pick. Like I said, I got Tennessee in my playoff as well. Moving on to 11. So this is the pick, the one pick I hate. I hate this pick because I don't know who to put. And I was deciding between, do I toss Michigan? Do I toss USC? And my heart tells me USC. My heart really, really does tell me USC. And if you ask me this next week, it could change to a USC or a Michigan, in my opinion. But right now, I still have my ACC runner-up, Florida State. hate that so much, but can still see a scenario where they win the rest of their games, maybe only drop one other ACC game. So they're 10 wins, right? They make the big, they make the ACC championship, play well, and they just get that BS 11 seed, right? And just get mollywopped by Oregon, a pissed off Oregon team. I can totally see that scenario. And then they're just back to square zero. Florida State overrated, can't win the big one. But you, that's my 11 seed, and I hate it. And I hate it.
Really better hope that at this time next week, Florida State has not lost to Boston College on.
No, like I said, I reserved a right to change my 11 seed to Michigan or USC. If Florida State, I'm on record. This pick is being changed to Michigan or USC if they lose to Boston College, as well as me ever believing in Florida State ever again, as well as me defending DJU about the bloodline memes. In fact, I might even post a bloodline meme if they lose to Boston College.
The BC and yes. Bill O'Brien. You know Bill O'Brien is just like licking his chops right now. All right. I guess I'll move on. So, in your estimation, what conference do you think this next team comes from?
I mean, knowing your trend, I know you a little too well. I think you have, I think you're going to piss people off into a Big Ten or SEC team. I think that's where you're leaning towards, is a Big Ten SEC team where people want different stuff, but it's just going to be more the same this year for them. More Big Ten, more SEC. So that's where I'm leaning.
So it is Big Ten, and just here, I know this is going to shock a lot of people.
Don't say it. Don't give me that team in Middle America. They're don't do it. America. Oh, same, thank God.
Same kind of colors, not in Middle America. But I'm going to read you off
the schedule. Oh, no.
I'm going to read you off the schedule.
Howard, is it going to be our guy?
Howard, oh, no. Akron, Va Tech, Washington, at Nebraska, Wisconsin, UCLA, at USC, Minnesota, Maryland, Illinois, God, at Michigan
don't do
State.
It. Don't do it. Although it'd be so awesome because I love this guy. I love this coach so much. He's one of the characters. Give it to me.
Rutgers can go 9-3 with that schedule. And
I cannot
put, even though I thought about Missouri, I thought about a second ACC team, which it probably should be a second ACC team because there'll probably be a 10-2 ACC team. But, I mean, that schedule is not – they don't draw Ohio State, Oregon. They get USC. They play at USC. They don't have Michigan up here. Like,
yeah, I love that scenario, but – with a schedule that bad, with two losses, that's a guaranteed bad loss on there. Like my heart wants that. That would be so amazing to see who would that put Rutgers against. Who would Rutgers play in your scenario?
Rutgers would play at six.
Your six seed,
Alabama, right? I believe.
Oh, that'd be so funny. Oh, that'd be so funny. I'd want Greg. You already know Greg Schiano would just try some bullshit. Like you already know first play, he's just telling his like will linebacker just like. Hit Jalen Milroe as hard as you can in the chest. I don't care about a penalty. Just pulling some like peewee bullshit like that.
It would, and like I said, I struggle because I just don't know how it's gonna shake out with when these. It's gonna be hilarious to watch these teams argue about who should get in. And
yeah,
you know.
All right, that's gonna be funny.
It came down to I don't know how much I trust second Big 12 team. I don't know how much I trust, especially after Florida State lost. To Georgia Tech, a second. Like, I mean, basically, not that they can't lose again, but Florida State really can't lose again in a lot of ways. Like, they could lose a second one.
I hate that pick so much.
It's just, it's hard. It's hard. So, I looked at a bunch of team schedules, and I'm going with Rutgers. Number 11.
That's fair.
That's fair. Really stupid having Texas A&M, Rutgers, even Old Miss.
Talking to the guy. You You're talking to a guy who's got Clemson winning the ACC and who's going to play Georgia tomorrow by the time this episode's released. And I just look real stupid. But for my group of five team that gets in, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Boise State. I think Liberty has one loss. I think Boise State probably has two losses. And I think Memphis has two losses. And Boise State just gets the luck of the draw based on name brand and gets that slot in there and has to play Alabama and Tuscaloosa in what will be the fastest heart rate I've ever had watching a football game potentially. So
I just
that
have
would be something.
Fear of probably still going to be the same guy starting quarterback. Maddox Madsen is not being able to see over the line, and a disguise blitz just putting him 40 feet down with Confederate soldiers.
I'm scared of a Bryant-Denny Stadium just getting so loud after Maddox hasn't really played in anything. You know, he'll play in Oregon, which will have a lot of Boise fans there, though. I'm just so scared of him. We're down 10-0. It's still the first quarter, and he's already doing this with his helmet. I'm just scared of that visual too in this potential situation. But I got Boise State.
First quarter. Oh, like we have Jinty. Like he might be able to help us set up play action. Oh, well, nope. He has 9 carries for 6 yards. So.
And then they get some bullshit like 20-yard play with like Austin Bolt on like a cross route when like a Alabama like DB slips and like it gives us hope. It's like, oh man, we're making a little drive right now. But I got Boise State. I think they got a solid season.
I think so too. They might be the sacrificial lamb, but it's going to be cool if they make it just to be like, hey, we're in the playoffs. I know a lot of Alabama fans back home. I'm going to be pretending that I think we're going to win, even though
I don't 100%. I will too. You have to, because at that point, Boise State, it would be all time Maddox Madsen hype and Jenty hype. But yeah, so. So that's our list. Also, our brackets are going to be posted onto the Instagram. Give it a like. And also, please give us your thoughts, because I know a lot of you probably have some thoughts about my choices, like Arizona and Clemson. Yeah, but those brackets will be posted. Let us know who you pick too in the comments of that Instagram post. Now, before we end this episode up, we got two quick last things we want to do. And that's we want to quickly touch base on the week one games coming up tomorrow. Zuch and I have each selected a game for you to watch that we think is going to be the best game of the week. I'll kick this off. My game of the week, week one, is the Sunday standalone game, LSU versus USC. That's the game I'm the most excited for. I think it's going to be a Miller Moss coming out party. I think USC wins that game. I think USC wins that game because I don't believe in the quarterback situation at LSU. And who knows, maybe Garrett Neusmeyer is really, really good. I don't think he is yet, or I don't think he's good enough to beat a Miller Moss USC team. I think that people, when they think of USC, they think of the bad defense. I think that defense is better. And it's also the game of the week because LSU is always going to have playmakers. So it's going to be a really, really exciting game to watch, in my opinion. Sunday standalone. Wake up with the Sunday scaries after a day of eating a $20 cheeseburger and 8 beers at some local pub or ale house that's overpriced, and just enjoy that Sunday standalone game, guys.
And exactly. Warning to USC, however, do not come out crawling on all fours like you did against Alabama years ago.
Okay, I blame more Max Brown. Sorry, Max Brown. Again, great online. Who's ever doing your engagement, amazing, because I get your stuff all the time. But you cannot trot out Max Brown and expect to beat Alabama.
I'm so like looking back, I was like, oh, USC might like they look pumped up for this game. Okay, well,
wasn't it the Reuben Foster hit game on the opening kickoff or like something like that, or like the opening drive where Reuben Foster just kills someone on USC?
Right. There are so many times looking back, and I'll get to my game of the week because it involves this team. But did you see the Manti Te'o video where he's talking about being like the ringleader of Notre Dame, and he's like, and we were out there like we were number one, so Alabama had to go out first, and they just came by us yelling at us, and I was, he goes, and I knew it was gonna be a long night. It was, man. So, I tell you, I had such high hopes for that game, and it turned wayward quickly, very quickly.
Fun fact, Granada High School alum George Atkinson returned the opening kickoff.
I love George. I love so many players on that Notre Dame. I loved Everett Golson.
George Atkinson, who I saw one time, Zuch, score 4 touchdowns in a quarter of high school football at Granada High School when I was like an elementary school. It was so stupid. It was crazy. That, 4 touchdowns in a quarter.
Yeah, the high school guys that are, you know, your playmakers are just on such a different level that go to the Notre Dames and Alabamas. Yeah. Like, it's insane. But my game of the week, Notre Dame, A&M. I think that is, and based on my bracket, it's 2 playoff teams. One team with, I mean, A&M always seems to have high expectations these days, but I think they're even higher now that Jimbo Fisher is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame, like, I mean, it's a big year for Marcus Freeman. Like, he's done some good things there. They've had some games where you're like, oh, what are you doing, man? Like, and it kind of for him, it's time to, like, they blew that game again. They had no business losing that game to Ohio State last year and blew it.
Mm-hmm.
A&M's not Ohio State, but I think Notre Dame needs to go out and get a win, or they don't have the benefit of playing in the SEC like A&M does. But I'm really excited for that game. Top 25 matchup. Almost went with USC LSU, but it is my meme matchup of the week because it is going to
Why
be
so
hysterical watching a bunch of LSU fans. Like, the message boards have been telling LSU fans to act like they have some sense in Las Vegas. Not going to happen.
No. You think they're going to be flying in today? Probably. They probably flew in right when this episode got released Friday morning or Thursday night. And you think it's going to be a problem. Also, USC, people joke about the West Coast sports being like, eh. USC is probably the least school out of all those guys. Like, those guys are passionate. They are LA bros. It's going to be the LA bros versus the Southern bros. It is going to be Vuori shorts and Lululemon polos versus PFG polos and Peter Millar polos.
Yeah. But all I'm going to say to Allegiant or Mandalay Bay, whoever it is that is in charge of the tunnel that leads, I think it's from, maybe it's MGM Grand. It's one of the two. There's a tunnel that goes from the hotel to Allegiant Stadium. Mm-hmm. One fan base at a time. One fan base at a time. You know, all hell breaking loose in that tunnel because it might just go off onto the strip, and then you have just a chaos scenario of,
oh my goodness, yes,
gambling and drinking and those,
oh my gosh,
huge margarita things being used as weapons. So you just
yes. Well, the good thing about USC and LSU is that they both have very distinct colors, so we will easily be able to tell who is winning the war, so to speak. It'll be like a 1700s battle where it's like the red coats versus the blue coats in a very, it'll be a very organized manner on the battlefield. But my meme matchup is a truer meme matchup in the sense for a couple of reasons. It is Sac State versus San Jose State. Now, why is this the mean matchup? Am I going to even watch this game? Yes, you can watch this game on True TV at 7 p.m. This game will be broadcast on True TV. It is super funny. Stingers up, FCS versus San Jose State. I truly believe Sac State could beat San Jose State. Sac State was a playoff team in the FCS last year. San Jose State lost their head coach and some good players. But mainly I'm choosing this because it is literally on True TV. The get-in price for this game right now is, oh my gosh, I messed up. This game has already happened by the time of this recording. But it will be my meme matchup. In fact, I'll do a little prediction. I think Sac State is going to win on Thursday night. My meme matchup. This could be a super funny clip right now. But man, week one's back. We'll have a breakdown next week. I am so excited. I already looked, and that Georgia Clemson game's then for my time, 9 a.m. That's the game I'm gonna have. As you guys know, my iced coffee game. I have iced coffee, watch the early slate. I don't start drinking beers till the 12 o'clock games come around West Coast time. So I am stoked for this game. I'm stoked for the week, Zuch. Tell the people before we get off where you are right now, I guess, at the time of this recording. Not where you are recording this, but where you will be as the people can listen to this.
I will probably be at a beach bar in Savannah trying to talk some game up, trying to find Georgia State fans. I am very excited to introduce some people here to Georgia fans. They don't know, as I called them before, the Al-Qaeda of college football.
They are Pandora's box. They were Pandora's box.
I was at Boise State, Georgia in Atlanta in 2011. I was there, went for my 17th birthday. They barked. I will never forget sitting next to this Georgia fan in the stand with one of my friends, Hayden, from high school. He's just sitting there just talking to us the whole time. And he goes, "You just ain't ready. You ain't ready for the speed."
And then what happened on the very first play of the game? And he said something to you?
Second drive, they did like an end around to Brandon Wiggins.
And who was that running back?
He played both sides. He was like a corner / receiver. And he did like an end around and just outran everyone. And he did like, he didn't like look at me like this. He did the. He's like, "I told you, you ain't got to be fast. You're picking up potatoes." And I was like, "Okay, this."
And then what was the scene like? What was the scene like before the last thing before we go off? This has been an amazing show. What was the last thing in that arena, the old Georgia Dome, in the fourth quarter when it became apparent that Mark Richt had just Mark Richt it again?
Oh, they were after him. They hated Aaron Murray. They were considering that Mark Richt cared more about fancy uniforms instead of running the ball.
The Nike Pro Combat.
The barking had subsided a little bit. And I felt bad because we got tickets kind of late. So it was me, my friend Hayden, and my dad. And my dad just had to sit by himself. He fed our tickets together and got one by himself. I don't even know what he did the whole. I think he just got a couple beers and probably talked to people about football. He's not the world. He likes college football, but he's not like we are about it. But it was a good night. Got some Whataburger after the game. Georgia fans weren't happy. You know what? Let us play another SEC team. I'm confident.
Let's go. But before we play SEC, we got Georgia Southern. Everyone, their season starts on Saturday. And the good thing about this year, everyone feels like they have a chance. That's a great way to end the show. Thank you. Everyone has a chance. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you go subscribe to us on YouTube, this channel. Follow us on Settle Down on our Instagram at Settle Down Media. And follow us on TikTok. If you have TikTok, really means a lot when you guys view this stuff, whether it be listening to the podcast or viewing the clips. So please show your love, subscribe. It really means a lot to us. This is why it's part of the reason why we do it. We do this because we love it, but we also do it because we know other people love it too. With that, Zuch, got anything else?
Go and join. It should be up tomorrow, I want to say. We're going to do a weekly confidence challenge.
Yes. Challenge will be released around the same time as this is being released. Yep. So either today, Friday, or tomorrow, Saturday, is when we will have that released. More information will be on our Instagram.
Yep, go make sure. It's going to be a weekly thing. So make sure every week you're making your pick so you get the points necessary. It's pretty simple. Go in, whatever team, you'll go to the matchups that ESPN has for that week. Whatever team you're the most confident in winning, you give them 10 points. Whatever team you're the least confident in winning, you give them 1 point. And at the end of the season, we will buy you a sweatshirt because it's going to be cold by that time. Whoever your favorite
sweatshirt,
team.
T-shirt. Yeah. We'll get you a shirt. Get signed up for that. It's going to be an amazing time. And with that, we bid you adieu. Enjoy week one, everyone. And we will see you next week to recap.